This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, and one of the great traditions of the Congress of the United States has been at least the ability to work with people of the other side. Somebody who exemplifies that is a Democrat, and he's actually, I dare to say it because it might actually hurt him, but one of my favorite Democrats. His name is Adam Smith. He is a congressman from the Seattle area where he has been serving many, many years. And he is the chair of the House Armed Services Committee. And he just came out with what seems to me an extremely balanced and fair statement on the current battle in the Middle East. Chairman Smith, always great to speak with you.
Thank you, Michael. Always a pleasure.
Okay. First of all, in your statement, you begin by saying the barrage of rockets over the past few days directed at Israeli civilians is abhorrent, and I unequivocally condemn the deadly assault from Hamas. And that, it seems to me, would be a fairly normal statement to make. Why is it that there are members of your caucus in the House and members of the Democratic body in the Senate who seem to have difficulty making a statement that clearly?
Yeah, and some whom were critical of me making that statement. I mean, the problem here is that the people who are critical of that are very focused on the Palestinian people and what they have suffered, and correctly so. I mean, they certainly have been in a bad situation ever since at least 1948 when the Arab world refused to accept the Palestinian state that they were offered. And I don't support everything Israel has done along the way. But if you do not condemn Hamas, if you do not recognize that Hamas refuses to even recognize Israel's right to exist, what is Israel supposed to do at that point? If they are asked to negotiate with people who will not even say up front, you have a right to exist, then Israel knows that the point here isn't just creating the two-state solution, which I passionately support as the only path to peace, but ultimately saying that Israel shouldn't have been created in the first place, and it is a existential threat to Israel. So we have to condemn Hamas. Well, Hamas doesn't need rockets. Those rockets, they know, are not going to protect them. Their hope is to provoke Israel and to turn international opinion against Israel so that they can further undermine Israel's ability to exist as a country. And that's not helping the Palestinian people, and it's not helping the cause of peace. But people sometimes don't make that step in connection and recognize just how terrible what Hamas is doing is to the Palestinian people. You know, look, you know, in addition certainly to the Israelis who they're indiscriminately bombing.
Okay, how does this, because you allude to the need for negotiation in your statement, and I'm speaking to Adam Smith, the Democrat who is chair of the House Armed Services Committee, and what kind of negotiation should there be? In other words, Israel was attacked without warning, without explanation. Basically, the first night, they had 1,500 rockets that were sent over to Israel, and people died. How do you negotiate on something like that? What would be the terms for a ceasefire, for instance?
Well, what I would say is it's a very bleak situation, and it is a humanitarian crisis, and incredibly sad, and a lost opportunity. I mean, you go back to the Oslo Accords in 1993, when Rabin laid out a framework for a two-state solution and peace. That has been undercut time and time again. And, you know, that's where we'd like to get back to. But you got to accept the situation as it is. And right now, the steps I think that are important, and when I say a ceasefire, it is on both sides. I am not asking Israel to unilaterally stop. Not at all. A ceasefire needs to be negotiated with both sides so that the missiles stop, period. That's what a ceasefire is. Then the next step is the negotiation. The Palestinian government has been messed up for a long time. They've been canceling elections for, they haven't had an election in 16 years. They've been canceling them. They have all kinds of corruption problems. But the other thing is they've refused to sit down and negotiate with Israel without preconditions. Get them back to the table. At least start talking. That's step two. Step three is economic assistance to the Palestinians. And this is one thing that I really disagree with the Trump administration. They cut off economic support to the Palestinians. You have to create a viable Palestinian state. You have to give the Palestinian people some hope to help them to get to a better economic future, to get to a safer future. I think we need to get back to doing that, to building up the economy, particularly in the West Bank, to work with them to create the conditions where you can have a viable Palestinian state. Lastly, I think we should avoid any effort to force a final status negotiation to completely resolve the issue, because you get into right of return. You get into part of the controversy, as you know, that started this is what's going on in East Jerusalem. And some stuff there that I don't agree with when Israel was, going back to 1948, using the law to toss Palestinians out of their home. I don't support a right of return for Palestinians because that would destroy the state of Israel. But if you don't support that, how can you support allowing Israelis to take land from Palestinians based on pre-48 conditions? So get back to starting to have a discussion to at least solve some issues. Because, look, we would love to have a two-state solution, but right now, let's just stop the missiles that are out there killing innocent people on both sides.
When you were talking about aid to the Palestinians, I assume you were excluding Islamic Jihad or the Hamas, the two groups
that rule Gaza.
I'm
talking about the West Bank.
So, Eva, what do you do about Gaza? It's one of those things where it seems to me that in retrospect, one of the monumental mistakes in all of Israeli history was basically just abandoning Gaza and in effect turning it over into Hamas, which is, that's 16 years ago. And again, the suffering, if you compare the status of West Bank Palestinians to Gaza Palestinians, there's a world of difference because Hamas is crazy and evil.
Yeah, and just trying to provoke Israel, and they don't care about the Palestinian people. Well, 16 years ago when Israel did that, they didn't think they were turning it over to Islamic Jihad and Hamas. In fact, elections were being held right around that time, and it was, Fatah was deeply divided, and Hamas took advantage of those divisions to win the election. And that totally changed what they thought the outcome of that decision was going to be. I think it was an important step for Israel to take nonetheless, to show that they recognize that the territories that they are in right now are disputed. Since the Palestinians didn't take the state back in 1948, Jordan controlled that territory for some time. Egypt has controlled part of it. No matter who's controlled it, it's never been good for the Palestinians. So I think Israel's step to say, look, we recognize we're not trying to take over and occupy this area was probably the right one. But again, we've just got to get back to moving towards a two-state solution.
Let me ask you very quickly in the limited time we have left. Are you in favor of this big new bipartisan commission to investigate January 6th?
I have concerns about it. My biggest concern is we've discussed the people who don't. January 6th happened, okay? Extreme right-wing Trump supporters stormed the Capitol to try to overturn an election, basically undo a legal and fair election. You can call it an insurrection, you can call it a coup. I mean, it was a good distance from accomplishing any of that, but that was what they wanted, all right? That is completely wrong. Now, what is a commission going to determine about this that hasn't already been determined? That's where I'm less clear. I've got to take a close look at what we're proposing here. But it seems to me it is just going to drag out a partisan exercise. When I want us to recognize what happened there, I want people to recognize that, the right wing is getting to the point where they don't believe in representative democracy.
Well, we do, and certainly I appreciate your moderate take on that issue as well. Congressman Adam Smith, Godspeed to you. We'll be right back. first became aware of Josh Tolley as a very well-known commentator and writer who talked all about how to apply timeless values to the job of investing in business. And now he has an opportunity you need to know about.
Michael, first let me say it is a pleasure to be involved with your show and earn your endorsement. But you're right. People are worried. Politics, societal decay, market volatility, even how to transfer wealth to that next generation. Shift Capital can protect up to 25% of a family or business's wealth, offering tax-free, yes, really, tax-free compounding, no market tie-ins, 5 to 6% compounding dividend return, protected from creditors and with a 140-year track record. Before you invest, protect the money first. ShiftCapital.com, shyft-capital.com, or 1-800-289-7061.
Or you can find out further information at michaelmedved.com. To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/Medved, you can get a free mini book, free, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/Medved. That's discovery.org/Medved.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Michael Medved show, it is a real problem that the Democratic Party is so divided on everything. And why is that a problem? Because what it does is it makes it very, very difficult for the President of the United States to even send a clear message to his own party. And this is a great concern that the Wall Street Journal raises in an editorial today. Biden, the Democrats, and Israel. And they point out that since Hamas began its rocket offensive last week, the Biden administration has wisely refused to dictate the Israeli response. Well, at least so far. But the U.S. narrative took a notable turn this week as congressional Democrats demanded a ceasefire. We hope the president bucks his instinct to follow his party and leads it instead. Hamas and Islamic Jihad have launched more than 4,000 rockets into Israel since last week, and Israel has been pummeling those groups in the Gaza Strip to stop the attacks. Media and progressive activists blamed the Hamas-initiated war on Israel, as they always do. But the White House did not go along. The position may not be viable for much longer on Capitol Hill. Now, after more than a week of hostilities, it's become even more apparent that a ceasefire is necessary, says Speaker Pelosi. Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy told Politico, if Israel doesn't believe a ceasefire is in their interest, that doesn't mean we have to accept that judgment. We have enormous persuasive power. What is he talking about? The problem with a ceasefire is that, again, this has happened three times before, where there have been major rocket attacks from Gaza on Israel proper. People have died, and Israel has struck back to try to degrade the Hamas ability to do damage. And by the way, part of what you see here with the very limited, thank God, number of casualties in Israel so far is a result of success in those previous efforts. At one point, Netanyahu even referred to it as mowing the grass, that occasionally as they build up their potential to murder people, and yes, it is murder when without part of a war or any purpose of a war. The question that I would ask to anyone who may have some sympathy for Hamas and know the poor Palestinians are suffering so much, what is it you accomplish by sending missiles into your neighbor? How does that help the situation for people living in Gaza? It's a question that I don't think that Ro Khanna, one of the more left-leaning members of the Congress, he's a Democrat, of course, from California's 17th District, he was on MSNBC, and he sounded like this.
Children are dying, and Netanyahu, who is desperate to cling to power, is out there saying that he is doing this with the United States' support. The president needs to make it very clear. No, you are not. Stop it. End the violence. Have a ceasefire. And he needs to have the same message to Hamas, that we need a ceasefire. And I believe if the president says that, the violence will end. I know that because Netanyahu is out there saying that he has a blank check from the United States. That's what he's saying. He says this is going to go on for more time and that the United States is with him. No, we're not. There are many members of Congress, including supporters of the U.S.-Israel relationship, like myself and others, who are saying that Netanyahu does not have a blank check. And he's doing this, by all accounts, including Thomas Friedman's column this morning, simply to hold on to power.
Okay, that Thomas Friedman column, which I mentioned earlier, it's entitled, For Trump, Hamas, and Bibi, it is always January 6th. He's comparing Netanyahu's response to a 4,000 rockets sent into your territory to a mob's decision to ransack the Capitol building. Really? And by the way, what's fascinating to me is they have so far indicted about 400 people. They're apparently 100 more whose names they have who are about to get indicted. They estimate, most sources, that there were about 800 people total, who actually burst into the Capitol building itself. Now, there were others who just crossed the fence, and some of them battled policemen outside, but people who actually got into the Capitol building, this is the most serious matter, it was 800. And again, to compare that to Israel's effort to prevent the murder of its citizens is just outrageous. Listen to this. Friedman writes, like Trump, both Bibi and Hamas have kept power by inspiring and riding waves of hostility to the other. But Trump didn't keep power. He lost the election, Mr. Friedman, but he appears not to have noticed. They turn to this tactic any time they are in political trouble. Indeed, they each have been the other's most valuable partner in that tactic ever since Netanyahu was first elected prime minister in 1996 on the back of a wave of Hamas suicide bombings. The latest rerun of their long-running nasty show is happening now because both were staring at the amazing breakthrough shaping up between Israeli Jews and Israel's Arab Muslims. And like the pro-Trump mob on January 6th, they wanted to destroy the possibility of political change before it could destroy them politically. How ridiculous. How ridiculous. So is he saying that Bibi, it's a bid to hold on to power for him to respond the way that any prime minister of Israel would respond or any leader of any legitimate state would respond to a concerted multiple rocket attack? This is Ted Cruz actually had something, it seems to me, very relevant to say about this, about the direction of Democrats like Ro Khan, who we just played. This is clip number 3, Jeremy.
The Democratic Party is governed and led by the extreme left, by the squad, by AOC and Tlaib and Omar, whose statements might as well be issued on behalf of Hamas. They are accusing Israel of engaging in terrorism, defending your citizens from violent terrorist attacks is the right of Israel.
Okay, that's Senator Ted Cruz. There are other Republicans who've spoken up very clearly as well. And the idea of somehow conflating this whole issue of January 6th with rocket attacks, at least the January 6th people breaching the Capitol building had a goal in mind. What is the goal that Hamas has in mind? Think about it. Well, what is the goal that Jay Inslee, governor of Washington, has in mind by deciding to usurp some power from the legislature? We'll talk about that and more with the Washington Policy Center coming up.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
In a phone call today, President Biden told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that he expects a significant de-escalation today on the path toward a ceasefire. That's according to the White House. It was the fourth time the president has spoke with Netanyahu over the past week as the tensions continue to be high between Israel and the Hamas terrorists in Gaza. As Democrats on Capitol Hill continue to criticize Netanyahu for the strikes, he's not backing down.
To have Israel criticized for that is absurd. Not only is it absurd and unjust and untrue, it does enormous damage to democracies that are fighting this kind of evil. It says you cannot protect yourself.
The House expected to vote on a bill today that would create an independent commission to investigate the January 6th attack on the Capitol. USA Radio News.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with. And then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces. It's chemical-free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
Michael Medved show, for people who don't think that we have an unusual governor in the state of Washington, he actually was a two-fisted signer of new legislation, signing one bill with the right hand, one bill with the left hand, at the same time that he was trying to use his veto power in a way that even his fellow Democrats think may be unconstitutional. What is going on in, again, that pure Democratic one-party town of Olympia, where the Democrats are supposed to be working together, right, to govern the state of Washington? Jason Mercier is probably the best person I know of. He's with the Washington Policy Center's Center for Government Reform. And what is going on with what you have called, and others agree with you, even some Democrats apparently, a unconstitutional power grab by the governor?
Yes, hello, Michael. It has been a very strange week, as you mentioned, concerning the governor's bill signings, both doing something that, to my knowledge and the Secretary of State's knowledge, has never happened before. And that is, as you mentioned, signing two separate bills at the same time, using his left and his right hand, but doing it off of camera so you couldn't really see which one got signed first, and that's important for reasons we can get to in a moment. And then secondly, the governor was sued several years ago for violating the Constitution, doing an illegal line-item veto. He did it not once, not twice, but three times again in the last 2 days, and resulting in the bipartisan response from lawmakers saying that we're going to have to sue you yet again, since apparently you didn't get the message in 2019.
Okay, what is so important to Governor Inslee that he is willing to dodge? And it's basically a part of the state constitution that was added by voters back in 1974. What did the voters decide that Governor Inslee has decided to ignore?
Yeah, so we used to have basically the governor could do whatever they wanted. There were no restrictions on the veto power. And this was not something that the legislature nor the citizens wanted to see continue. So in 1974, there was a constitutional amendment. And the voter's guide actually said, stop one-man lawmaking. Right? This is not the way we want laws made in the state of Washington. And what that constitutional amendment required is if the governor wants to veto sections of a bill, it has to be entire sections. He can't rewrite the intent of the law by vetoing just words or sentences. Very clear. But apparently not so clear for the current governor, because this week on a couple of bills, the low-carbon fuel standard, which is a high priority for his, the cap-and-trade bill, again, another high priority for his, and then just yesterday in the transportation budget, the governor yet again issued line item vetoes and vetoed out words. And this was something the legislature called him on back in 2019 when he first did this. They sued him. And last year, a Superior Court judge ruled, yes, governor, you violated the Constitution. And that case is set to be heard again by the state Supreme Court here in June. Notwithstanding that, he did it again. And in the transportation budget, he did it on the exact same thing that the Superior Court told him he couldn't do just last year.
Okay, what are we talking about here? Because I had assumed that Governor Inslee was in full and total and unanimous control of everything that goes on in Olympia. He has big majorities in both houses of the state legislature. And now you have the Democratic, very liberal Democratic speaker of the state house who says, yeah, we're going to sue the governor on this. What are they fighting over?
Well, you know, the developments this week were good and somewhat concerning. It was good from the standpoint to see the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader and the Republican leadership in both bodies fight for the power of the legislative branch of government, saying you are doing things that the Constitution provides us, the lawmaking. We have restrictions on what you can veto. So it was good institutionally to see them fight back on it. I guess the concerning thing is, where was this concern and where has this concern been on the governor's emergency powers? I know it's a separate issue, but again, that's a legislative prerogative. So maybe this is starting to foretell that you're going to see the legislature care a little bit more about its institutional powers going forward. But with the policy fight is over, cap and trade, low carbon fuel standard, those environmental policies have been big priorities for the governor since he came into office. But he hasn't been able to get them through his own Democratic legislature because the Democrats who are wanting a transportation budget are concerned that if we're spending money and costing citizens money for gasoline and their energy on these environmental policies, they wouldn't support a transportation package. So what the legislature tried to do is what they called a grand bargain, saying that the cap and trade enforcement and the low carbon fuel standard enforcement would not take effect until a separate transportation tax package was agreed to. And that's what the governor vetoed. He vetoed out that linkage to the transportation tax package.
So, in other words, no commitment to fix the bridges that are in danger all around or already closed, like in West Seattle. No commitment to take care of the stuff that we need to take care of to keep transportation up to snuff. Even if the governor gets his way with cap and trade and the fuel economy standards.
Well, and this is where things are going to get very interesting, because apparently there had been some type of agreement between the governor and the Democratic leadership to call a special session in September to pass this transportation tax package. But now that he has done this veto, you have the chair of the Senate Transportation Committee, Senator Hobbs, and you have other members of the Democrat Transportation Committee saying he has poisoned the well. He has totally disrupted the ability of us to work with our colleagues on these type of compromises. So now it calls into question if this three-planned September special session is going to be able to move forward.
What does this mean financially to ordinary citizens out there?
Well, it does make it very interesting to see now that the governor has done what is arguably an unconstitutional veto. Will the courts weigh in on this, and what impact does that have on the total bills? Does this keep the cap and trade and low carbon fuel standard from going forward in effect? Does it bring the linkage back to a transportation tax package? The challenge, though, is it takes several years for the courts to weigh in on these things. So we could have some uncertainty going forward for several years. But as we started this off, You know, the transportation veto, the low carbon fuel standard, that's something we're kind of familiar with because the governor has done this before. But what has never happened before is the signing of two bills at the same time with both hands off camera so you don't know which one got signed first.
By the way, is he ambidextrous? Is Governor Inslee ambidextrous? Does he have a use of both left and right hands?
If he had been on camera, I guess he would have seen how well those signatures looked. But what this has to do with is the legislature passed two broadband bills to expand broadband in the state. And they might have had a conflict in them that could cancel out some sessions. And why that matters is under state law, basically the last bill to be signed would take precedence. So the Secretary of State needs to know what was the order of the signing to know which bill will take primary effect. Because the governor did this off camera and says he used both hands, she doesn't know which one was signed first. So now she is having to go to the courts to say, what do I do? How do I interpret which bill to give precedence to?
The whole story is so remarkable and so colorful and so whacked. You need to read about it. Go to our website, to michaelmedved.com. Click on the big banner for Washington Policy Center, and you can read the most recent blog by Jason Mercier, who's WPC's Center for Government Reform head. It's so complicated and so important, you need to get involved with the WPC, the Washington Policy Center. Jason, keep up the fight. Keep us informed. We will be right back here on the MedVed Show.
Your outlet for outrage.
I'm not going to take this anymore.
The Michael MedVed Show.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. From Discovery Institute, a special free mini book offer for MedVed listeners. What did Charles Darwin's ideas mean for society at large? Do we have free will? Are human beings merely meat in motion? Ideas do have consequences, and Darwin's ideas made scientific atheism credible. Get the free mini book, Darwin's Three Big Ideas, at discovery.org/MedVed. That's discovery.org/MedVed. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max. and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
One of the many, many battles that is going on in Washington, D.C., and then in state capitals around the country right now, are battles about how you teach, how you understand American history. I mean, have we been a corrupt and racist and oppressive and horrible country from day one? Has racism been a problem and part of America's past? Without question. There's no question. But does that mean that our founders, for instance, were so invested in the slave system that they couldn't see anything else? Well, I'll tell you where you can get a terrific perspective that's very, very important in terms of some of the real issues involving slavery and the founders is go to our podcast series, In Light of History. And we have another one coming out about some of the founders and their attitudes toward Indian tribes, which are far more complex than most people let on. This is very, very important stuff for people to appreciate just how far ahead of their times, how enlightened most, not all, but most of our founding fathers, and yes, there were no women at the Constitutional Convention, though John Adams wrote to his wife Abigail every night back home in Boston from Philadelphia. But all of this is available for MedHead members, and please link on it. We're putting up another one later this week, and then we have a fantastic podcast about one of the most unbelievably colorful characters in all of American history that most people haven't heard of except in a completely dishonest context. All of this at michaelmedved.com. Check on it. You can become a MedHead. You get a downloadable access to this show, commercial free, and anytime 24/7 you want it, and it all costs about 11 cents a day. No, really, it's a great bargain. Check it out. Go to michaelmedved.com and join us with a MedHead membership. There's so much. Again, you talk about trying to distort our history. There are all kinds of wonderful achievements in the name of political correctness. And it's somewhat amusing sometimes to read about this from a conservative point of view because they make fun of it. But I'm just going to read you a flat-out, completely respectful story about some of the stupidity from NBC News, right? Nobody would accuse NBC News of being conservative. They say Pennsylvania State University officials approved a measure that will remove gendered and binary terms like freshman and upperclassmen from their course and program descriptions. The changes were suggested in the Penn State Faculty Senate Proposition 8084, preferred name and gender identity policy, which passed on April 27th. The proposition recommended changing the nomenclature of college classes from freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior to first year, second year, third year, and 4 year. Why don't you have 4th year? They 4 year? Okay, fine. Among its other recommendations were replacing the terms underclassmen and upperclassmen with lower division and upper division. I mean, I guess they could say underclass person if they wanted, but no, it's upper division and lower division. As well as he, him, his, and she, her, hers pronouns with they, them, theirs pronouns. This is not a trend, I believe, that will last. Honestly, I think this is one thing we'll look back on it as a strange moment in our history. Terms like freshman and upperclassmen carried a strong male-centric binary character, and terms like junior and senior ran parallel to Western male father-son naming conventions, the proposition said. Junior and senior? Okay. If implemented, the recommendations will be enforced in all written materials, including recruiting information, admissions materials, internal documents, and school websites. The move comes at the heels of wider education and visibility on the use of binary gender pronouns and terms. In a survey conducted last year by the Trevor Project, an LGBTQ suicide prevention and crisis intervention organization, 1 in 4 LGBTQ youths said they use pronouns other than he, him, or she, hers. In other words, they're trying to suggest that dropping the term freshman or upperclassman is going to help prevent suicide? Amazing. Let's go to Tom in Glendora, California. Hello, Tom. You are on the MedVed Show.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Michael. It's always a privilege to be on this great show you've got.
Thank you.
You know, Michael, I don't know where to begin. I know my time's limited. I called mainly to sound the alarm, as you are so skillfully doing, on the crazy Democrats who are beyond crazy, with the cancel culture, with the vile 1619 project, with vile critical race theory, which says this nation is just a crap can white supremacist dump, with Howard Zinn's history book, which is anti-American. We've lost all respect for the country on the left wing here, the kingdom of kindness, as you call this country, with all of the flaws of its evil racist past, for which we've tried to repent. With AOC, the final straw is AOC backing the terrorists who are attacking Israel. These guys are raw evil. Israel doesn't even have the right to defend itself. And the Wall Street Journal reported, I believe, that an Israeli tried to warn a Palestinian, we're going to bomb this building, we don't want you to die. They're the most admirable military in the history of the world. And Michael, this is a clarion call to anyone who votes Democrat. This used to be a joke. The word Democrats should be changed. Replace the C with an N. D-E-M-O-N-R-A-T-S. I know it sounds outrageous. The Democrats are the demon rats. And I used to use that as a joke, knowing it was absurd. It's becoming true, Michael, and it has to be stopped.
Okay, we are going to be talking later in this program about some of the latest hysteria about the Supreme Court. And having to do with Roe v. Wade and reconsidering that Mississippi case concerning limitations of abortion to 15 weeks, after 15 weeks, abortions, except in cases where severe consequences of the mother's health, would be banned in Mississippi. The point about this is it rejects the entire federal system, which is another problem, and we will get to that. Tom, the one point that I would make here is that We're at a moment, we're going to be talking to Jeff Greenfield about that, who was a former aide to Robert Kennedy. He's somebody who today would, I think, classify as very much a moderate. He's saying that one of the problems of the Democrats is right now they're going crazy thinking that Republican divisions are going to hand them victory. And I think that you're correct that it is on some of these social issues, and there are increasing numbers of Democrats who I think understand that, the party is being isolated from the American mainstream and from most ordinary people. It's one of those things where, again, right now, if you look at the situation that we're in, there's so much to be thankful for in the country. We are making progress, getting people vaccinated, turning around the pandemic, being able to take off our masks, having schools that are reassembling, being able to go out to restaurants during the Jewish holiday that we just had the first 2 days this week. I was actually able to go to synagogue, and people were not required to wear masks inside. And it's a very, very different world. And again, if people would appreciate that and understand that you can continue maybe a little bit more effectively by speaking honestly about the past and gratefully and graciously about the past, but also about the possibilities for the immediate future. We can't continue like this. You can't even agree in the terms of some kind of a commission or other investigation of recent events in our history. We deserve better in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.